Let's go look at a river. Let's go look at a river.
Let's go look at a river.
None of you knew what I was going to sing next.
I'm pretty much see where this is going. I'm not going to spoil it just yet because you guys will do that for me.
So we got Cersei back in the trailer, but we only cut to her and she looks sad. And then we cut away. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And then we have...
outside the nightclub, Giggles Comedy Nightclub, which is actual place on like in U District.
Well, we do have a shot of Dana doing making her secret potion.
It's a glowing liquid.
Right. And so we do what I call punch drunk Sal.
Mm-hmm.
So he's drunk and he's wandering down the side alley to Giggles, where these greaser ladies, like just straight out of like Grease, they're all like in leather jackets and they've got their hair like teased out and they're just like, and they just punch him in the guts and he rolls to the ground and then he says something.
Well, they steal his wallet and then they laugh and call him loser. And like above the alleyway is a sign for a show says man baby, but then after man baby it says cuck.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and they're laughing at him, and he rolls over and goes, "This is the worst production of Grease I've ever seen."
Because you know when you're writhing in pain, you're like always talking about movies from 40 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Guess where he goes to get his wounds patched up?
Raise.
Back to his ex-wife.
His ex-wife.
Because doctor slash scientist totally equals doctor slash medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It does not.
That's why they spend so many years in college, is because they're learning the basics of human anatomy in case they have to go ahead and do first aid on their ex. That's the exact reason.
Right.
Nobody contradict me.
She goes, "I want you back." He goes, "Oh yeah?" And she goes, "But not as my husband."
He's now on the bed in a diaper going, "Wah, wah, wah. Does this really do anything for you? Wah, wah, wah."
No, she does not think that this is sexy. And he calls her baby and she's like, "Do not call me that." She gets well mad about it. And she's leading him to believe that this is sexy. He's like, "If this is turning your gears, let's do it." Right. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, like, if you want to be in a relationship with somebody and they have a kink that you're not necessarily into, there's nothing wrong with giving it a go. You know, consent can be retracted at any time. You can step, if you're in a loving relationship or at least a relationship where you care about consent and desire, like you should be able to step towards something and then being like, no, that's not my thing. Right. So she's like, "Hey, I want to fool around, put on this diaper." And he's like, "Okay." Right. And she's like, "Oh, yeah, now it's time for baby to have his bottle."
Which is suspiciously glowing blue.
Yeah.
He drinks the bottle and suddenly CGI's out all of his wrinkles and his face gets really, really white and he starts crying.
Yeah.
Magic lightning appears and his eyes start to glow blue.
Guess what, Lydia?
This is like Tusk.
He has become the man baby through science.
And then Cersei comes back because, you know, Dana needs a babysitter,
nanny. Yeah.
A nanny. Yep.
Yeah.
And they're all back home. So now we're going to with another montage.
Okay.
Only this one has a CGI butterfly.
Yeah, there's a lot of CGI in this. She like catches the butterfly and he's like beholding the wonder of it. And they're just a creepy family. She's sleeping at night with Cersei. They've got family pictures around of them, all mm-hmm. three of them together.
So it's Dana.
Uh-huh.
Cersei.
Uh-huh.
And then Sal baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wearing the bonnet that he's worn every time he's been the baby, wearing mm-hmm. the diaper. But now his face is unusually pale and he's got really bright pink cheeks.
And blue eyes. Yep. Yeah. But he's a baby.
So yeah. Is he like cognitively a baby?
Yep.
He is fully man baby.
So he is.
Scienced into being a man baby.
Yeah.
Now
Tusk.
Yeah. The next scene is gross Ray looking out of her houseboat. Eating pickles, wondering where her friends are.
We love her. She eats pickles.
Next to a sign that says, "I heart pickles."
A fun fact. I went to a cucumber farm a few weeks ago, and they had signs all around that says, I love you more than pickles. And they had them all over. So I picked it up and there was no price tag. And so I find another one, I pick it up, no price tag. And I was like, are you selling those? And they're like, no. And I'm like,
it's a pickle.
I could just make one, but they had it there. I could have bought one.
So do you know why cucumbers don't like turning into pickles?
Why?
They find the experience jarring.
Anyway.
You jerk. I've listened to so many of your jokes and like forced a laugh. And then that beautiful dad joke comes flying out of Lydia and you just.
You know where she keeps all of her dad jokes, don't you?
No.
In her database.
Pretty good.
I would like to also sort of clarify that Dana and Cersei are still not sexually active with each other. It's still more of this.
They're sleeping in the same bed. We don't see any sexual activity between them.
No, and in fact, the very next scene, Dana calls back Dr. Douchebag for a booty call.
I would like to point out that motherhood has completed, Dana, and it hurts my feelings.
Mm-hmm. She's happy. She has another one of those kicking the bed sheet sex things.
Yeah,
and then goes, I gotta go, and leaves Dr. Douche just sitting there going, okay.
And then she slides into bed with Cersei. Rey is now upset and she drives. She's in the car and she has a jar of pickles that slide across the dashboard. And I just have to say how much I love Rey again. She visits Dana in the middle of the night and she's like, hey, I've been calling Sal and he hasn't called me back, and I've been calling Cersei and she's not answering me either. And like, have you seen them? Do you know where they are? And Dana's like, no. And she's like, well, I really have to drop it. If you hear from them, you'll call me, right? Hey, I got to take a deuce. Can I like come in your house? And she's like, I have house guests. You really can't come in right now. And she's like, oh, no, that's cool. But if you hear from them, can you give me a call? And she's like, totally will. And then Rey respectfully goes.
Leads up to one of my favorite lines. This made me chuckle out loud. So Cersei goes, you know, who is it? And she's like, it's Rey. She's looking for Sal. And Cersei's like, well, Rey's cool. Should we tell her? And Dana goes, we should leave the country. And I just was like, that's funny. Should we tell her? We should leave the country. We need to leave right now. And
they're Rey's the only one who gives a shit. The only redeemable character. Like, she may be gross. But, like, we're gross. And, like, she's...
Yeah.
Her whole world is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And her world is a piece of shit who thinks he's a baby. Mm-hmm. Who now is a baby.
Yep.
Okay. So, Pickle's dashboard, at least she gives a shit. This is where Dana admits to Cersei. She goes, we're outlaws. And that's why they need to leave the country. Because Cersei didn't know what was going on. She didn't know that Sal had been full babied. And she's like, well, why don't we sober him up long enough to get him out of the country? And she's like, he might not act. Cersei's like, he wanted this. We just have to sober him up and get him out of the country. And Dana's like, well, actually. And then that's when Cersei realizes that this is a non-consensual babification and she's less down. So she decides to steal Sal. So she throws him in a car, drives him back to her trailer.
You're forgetting. There is this one part right now. She steals Sal because Dana's mom comes over for an impromptu dinner party with a priest.
Yes.
And Dr. Douche.
Yes.
And the mom knows something's up because Cersei comes in and goes, oh, we're living together. And the mom's like, I've never seen you before. Who are you? And all this sort of like screwball comedy stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then they end up in Sal's room. And they're like, none of this makes any sense. And then Dr. Douche is like, I have a bottle of wine in my car. Why don't we just pour ourselves a glass? And the priest turns and he goes, wine is proof that God loves us. And then they go drink. And the mom gets a little drunk and she's just like, yeah, he's such a jerk. And
the mom goes, remember back when you were in high school and did that play Grease and you were giving hand jobs to everyone on the cast? And the douchebag doctor's like,
You mean
hand jive, right?
No. Oh, and she was talking about, she talked about all of Sal's tattoos, and she's like, he's the Bradbury man.
He's like the illustrated man from Ray Bradbury, which is a science fiction book from the 1960s about a man whose tattoos would come alive.
And do what?
Tell stories. It was more of an anthology.
Oh, I see. Like Moana's Maui's tattoos.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, I think the Illustrated Man was the main storyteller, and each of his tattoos told a story.
I got some tattoos that could tell a story. All of them are self-indulgent.
Mm-hmm. So Cersei's taking Sal back to her trailer. Unbeknownst to her, Rey is following in her pickle-mobile.
Dana does call, I believe, Cersei, and is just like, you can't take him with, he needs his milk or whatever. He's going to have serious withdrawal symptoms. You can't just take him off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the serum that she created to keep him as a baby.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So so Rey rescues
Sal by tying up Dana in her trailer. Cersei, by tying Cersei up in her trailer.
With saran wrap and duct tape. And then Sal is in the back of Rey's car, like rolling around going through withdrawals. And there's like a little bit of CGI where like the blue ripples like go over him and he's like, and like, here's the thing, like withdrawal is bad. Like it's real bad. But he has approximately half an hour of withdrawals and then is done.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, he's going to suffer. And I'm like, I've seen people suffer more from like quitting cigarettes than like not having your blue juice.
So Rey brings Sal back to Dana's in the middle of the dinner party, opens the door and throws Sal in. And the mom's like, who is this guy with the diaper? And the priest is all shocked.
Oh, his mouth is covered in duct tape because Rey is awesome.
Yep. And then the mom stands up and goes, what is that smell? And Dana's like, oh, he pooped his diaper. In which case, Rey goes to stop him. Goes through
because Sal's trying to escape the house because he's kind of coming back to himself, and as he like escapes through Ray's legs, who tries to grab him
and pulls off his diaper
and like whips it up, and then is then covered in human man poop.
Yeah, the props department did really well with that one.
Yeah, they made the best of a real situation.
Ugh, wah wah.
Yeah, da 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 da.
Hey.
Dr. D calls Dana baby in this scene. And she's like, don't call me that. Like, she's got a real hard on for not being called that.
So Sal runs out in the middle of the night and steals Ray's car, which full on man butt. In which case, I'm sitting there watching this and I hear behind me, that's my butt.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep.
But here's the thing. He's like deep in withdrawals and he can drive now.
Mm-hmm. Apparently naked because that's his butt.
And the mom is just pissed that he shit himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's her whole thing. It doesn't make sense. So Rey gets in the car with Dana and then has a costume change. And we get to see Rey's bra.
Mm.
Yay.
Yeah. And then the mother, the priest, and the doctor jump in another car. So that leads to a car chase montage between the three of them.
They end up back at the trailer, and Dana has brought with her more blue milk.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's watching Dana swing this blue milk bottle around where Cersei's screaming duct tape to the thing. And suddenly...
No, and Sal has like a knife.
Yeah.
And he's just like, stay back, stay back.
And Dana's like, I will.
So she pukes.
And she faints.
Of course.
So now we're at the hospital.
We're at St. James the Dismembered.
Next day.
That's the name. That's the name of the hospital.
It is. They generated a sign.
Mm-hmm. And all we see is Sal in a
hospital gown. He's sleeping on a couch.
Mm-hmm. Waiting. And some doctor comes out and says, are you the husband?
She's going to be okay, but you have to stop doing all those wild and crazy drugs because she's pregnant.
Goal achieved.
So then Sal just pulls the thing over his head and starts crying on the couch. And we jump to a wedding. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun. So guess who's getting married?
Dana and Dr. Douche.
Nope. Take another swing. You got that half right.
Dana.
Nope.
No, Dr. Douche.
Yes.
Cersei?
Nope.
Oh, Dana's mom.
Yeah.
I knew you felt familiar.
Oh, and they have a kiss. They do kiss. And then Dana has, she just sits around looking pissy until Rey and Cersei come by and are like, come on, come with us. And then they leave the party together.
The three of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't figure out why Rey or Cersei would be invited to her mom's wedding.
I mean, if Dana, Cersei, and Rey were all like in a romantic relationship together.
I mean, fingers crossed.
You're not wrong, because they move to the quaint community of Index and raise Dana's redheaded child together, the three of them, in a montage of a happy family with
They do a live ultrasound where you see a baby womp womping around.
Mm-hmm.
Then they do a shining shot where they fly over some water. Then we see a cabin in the woods and these cute ass kids. Like, they're obviously different kids because we know movie magic, but it's supposed to be the kid growing up. And they're so cute.
So a little kid with three moms.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and they do a fulfilled mother shot of the kid like walking away from her. And she's just like smiling like real big. And you could have cut there too. There's like three different scenes where you could have cut at the end of this. And it would have been fine. This is one of them. Except, no, let's go on for another two pages of notes.
All right. So now we're going to go with Jen called it an establishing shot of the town in the mountains.
Let's go look at a river. Let's go look at a river.
Let's go look at a river.
None of you knew what I was going to sing next. I didn't have another line, but I knew we.
So then we see an old lady sitting on a bench, and a spaceship camera comes down and takes a picture of her and flies off.
I called it drone CGI, but like she doesn't react to it at all. So it's just like. Vroom.
And then we see the house again, only there's a robot lawnmower in the front yard.
Yeah, there's lots of little robots on it. It screams somebody's mother's cabin in like 2055.
So we made a time jump because the next shot we see is Dana in, I thought was pretty good makeup.
I thought it was CGI, but I think now upon pondering, yeah, it's probably CGI.
Old age makeup sleeping because she's old now.
Then she's also in a chair, kind of just staring off in the distance. And then her grandson walks in. He's like, hey, grandma, you got to keep your gloves on to like work the machines or whatever. They both wear gloves. It's really oddly specific. I don't know why.
The machine plays a hologram of Man Baby, the TV show.
And she's like, the grandson says, do you remember him? And she's like, no. But then like they cut away and now she's like writing down Baba.
Baby. Baba, man, baby.
So those words are in her. She just doesn't know what they are.
Is she supposed to have like Alzheimer's?
That's where my notes go. We're landing on dementia.
Yeah.
Oh, the grandson is the director.
Yeah.
The grandson then shows up with a old age makeup, Sal.
Future car they drive in. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Who complains about being pulled way away from his house because he's got his own family and his own kids, but he's going to do something nice.
So Sal visits his abuser, whomst he also abused. It's a weird full circle moment because he's now feeding her applesauce and he's now changing her diapers. And why is he staying there? Like if he was just coming for a visit, like he would just come visit and then leave.
Yeah.
But he's feeding her and taking care of her and like putting her to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it like goes.
The final shot is he's tucking her into bed, and then you hear...
The screen goes the red-black that is their, like, wipe screen. Not wipe, but, like, fade-out screen.
And the first time, I couldn't hear what they said. If something goes, and I was like, what are they saying? What did they say, Jen?
It's a farce.
They just whisper, it's a farce, across the screen, and then it cuts to the credits.
Which is what Dana tells...
Cersei tells Dana.
Yeah, Cersei tells Dana.
Uh-huh.
So we cut through the credits, right? There is a no animals were harmed in the making of this film. So good. I believe that was a fake ass fish or at least a prop fish.
Right.
They as they go through the thank yous and like the Kickstarter people at the end of the thank yous, it's like thank you for Washington National Cemetery or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where we end up. We end up at the ceremony. We end up at the cemetery where Dana Howard is buried next to Sal Howard. They like died a year apart or something like that, but she never changed her name and they are buried next to each other.
In like 2083.
So now remember back 30,000 years ago when we started this podcast that it's Grandpa Productions, right? So after all of the credits and the cutscene, there's a man holding what looks to be a dictionary, but he's pointed the things. Like, I think it might be Terry's grandpa.
Yeah, I believe in the Q&A they said that it was an actor that did a lot of movies, and they were thinking about having him narrate this movie as like looking back on his life. But since the movie took 10 years to make, by the time they got ready to edit, he'd passed away and couldn't do any re-editing, and they couldn't figure out his part. So they just cut the whole thing and added it at the end.
So he's pointing at this book, reading a line that would have supposedly narrated it. And he goes, he does a couple versions of it, but the one I wrote down was, "And he would show her by becoming a baby." Right. and then he says, "And now it's over." And it's black and you're done. And I was like, all right. Yeah, that's a movie you've heard about, Lydia.
And then we clapped, and then they had a Q&A with the director,
mm-hmm.
who his shoes matched his tie in a nice shade of mirror ball disco
and
sparkles.
And he was very forgiving about me not knowing who the hell he was in relationship to Jen.
Yeah, I have to say, out of all the things, the director was very nice.
He was very cool and put up with a lot of people clamoring, and he was willing to take a photo with us, mm-hmm. which was really nice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So...
Okay.
Oh, do you have some commentary now?
I just want to say one thing. Do you know when you like meet someone for the very first time and there's like all these like there's just something that just makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up on end, and you're like, I don't know if I want this person in my life. And then you get to know them, and then suddenly that instinct was right on the money. I kind of felt that way about this movie. And I don't know if Terry, if you're listening to this, I'm not saying that you're a bad person. This is just like the synopsis of the movie made me terrified to go see the movie. So that's where I was standing. I feel like I kind of maybe dodged a bullet.
I found
your guys' synopsis just wonderful. I think we should do this more often.
On occasion. Okay. Yeah. But we have to go where this podcast always goes, and that's to our shocked and applaud moments.
Do we have any Sean facts left?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. There were only two, and we ate those up right away at the beginning. But but we can do Sean shocked, but it's not going to have the same catchy appeal.
Sean shocked.
I was shocked that I found out this took 10 years to make. I mean, that's pretty good. Considering that some movies never get made.
Speaks to the follow through.
That is also my applaud moment, that this movie took 10 years to make, because I say stick with your dreams. I'm glad that they finished it. A lot of times you get like these Kickstarters that aren't finished and there's no product at the end and you feel like, why did I do this? So part of me is like, this guy had an idea. He saw it through to the end. It might not have been what he originally wanted, because it sounded like they were going to, during the Q&A, sounded like they had more that they were going to do with the show, the Man Baby show, and they were going to do more with Cersei making puppets. There was like this other thing about they were going to do something with the doctor, which they actually confirmed that the baby is the doctor's, not Sal's. But my applaud moment was the fact that they completed this thing, and that in itself is a testament to just sticking with it. And I think that that's great.
Okay. I like both of those. My shocked moment, since we're doing shocked and applaud in close succession, my shocked is the absolute unrewatchability of this film.
Aw. But you did, though.
I thought it was better the second time.
It was better the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to watch it a third time? Probably not.
I probably won't watch it a first time.
You know, I might watch it a third time in order to subject other people I know to this wonderfulness.
That is exactly your cup of tea.
I was actually thinking about maybe even suggesting this to a podcast that's slightly more famous than this one, called How Did This Get Made?
Oh, 100%.
Because I would love to see the great Paul Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas, see what they think.
Yes. Okay. How the podcast goes. My applaud moment is that homemade films just make me want to be a part of things. There was a time when I was super into public access TV shows. Applauders, if you're a child, baby, Public Access used to be a TV station where you could just put on your little show and you didn't have to be affiliated with anybody or talented or have like a plan.
They would just give you a camera and a studio space and say, make content from 7 to 7:30.
Yeah. So like I've been on, I used to watch back in my stoner days, and I'm sorry, but like I used to watch Mike Hunt.
Have you seen Mike Hunt?
I have. He gave me a t-shirt once when I went to a rally for free speech because he used to show porn and smoke pot on Public Access, but it was Public Access and he was doing it after 11 o'clock at night. So like, who cares? Right. But then, one time I went down to Olympia with a friend of mine named Peter, and there was just a dance show. So there was a guy who like wiki wiki, he'd like play his music and you would just dance on screen. And we did that for like an hour. And then one time there was a show called Jerk Beast that was like super popular. It was a call-in advice show where this guy and this puppet man called Jerk Beast, he would yell at you. Like you'd call in for advice and he'd be like, you're just an idiot and stupid is why you can't do anything, right? And it was just this big scary puppet, but they got popular enough, or at least passionate enough, that they made a Jerk Beast movie. And at one point me and my friend Layla went and were extras in their concert scene. And it was awesome. And we knew it was going to be terrible. There was no way it could be good. But there's something about just loving an idea so much that through 10 years, like you followed through and now you can't say you didn't do a thing. You can't say that you don't have a film in the can, right? And all of the people who got to be a part of it, everyone who was just like, you kind of saw them and they were like a throwaway character, like the therapist or whoever, you know, I got my cousin Alex to play this part or whatever. Like those little pull-ins, those little like it's such a treat for me that I love that no one's expecting to get famous. Nobody's thinking tomorrow Man Baby's going to be on Netflix front page and being trending and showing up. Nobody's thinking that, but they get to say that, oh, I was in a movie once. Oh yeah, I remember going to the premiere. Oh, you know, like it's just, I love that. And as much as maybe I admonish parts of this film or roll my eyes or whatever, there are great things about this film, Ray. But like the fact that I just feel the joy that, especially at the premiere where you got to feel the people having this emotive accomplishment and getting to share it with the world for the first time. Chef's kiss. Loved it.
There are also many like camera angles, and I know this sounds weird, but like a lot of shots of Dana that I thought at some point, if they were to like recut this movie and turn it into a straight up horror film, they could have succeeded admirably with just some of the shots of her just looking crazy. Mm-hmm. They were really good. I think that a straight up horror film, this would have been scary as crap.
That's like, I can see a sci-fi horror situation. With
yeah.
This.
I mean, like taking away your accountability, sort of locking you in your brain. Oh my gosh, it's so freaky for me. Ooh.
Yeah, but then we would have had, it would have cut out some of the more over your head, like not like hit you over the head humor, which I think landed pretty well in certain parts, like Ray. Like I'd have less Ray. No, thanks. I'd like more, please.
Yeah, if I had a really big complaint, it would probably be the ending time jump. It seemed a little out of narrative flow.
It's a farce.
I suppose.
It's better than it was all a dream or it all worked out happily ever after.
Yeah.
Personal opinion.
Okay.
Jen, you, your turn.
Shocked.
I love that. Now it means I'm not the only one who comes up with them at the last minute.
For sure. I think that the pacing definitely, as Sean mentioned at the end, when they're in, what's the name of the town?
Index, Washington. Index. Yeah. It says at the end, thank you, shot on location at Seattle and Index.
Yeah. Towards the end there, like the amount of establishing shots that they do and just sort of setting the scene that, oh, everybody's older now and it's in the future, could have been a little bit shorter. And maybe they just didn't have enough footage to like keep it in the time that they wanted to do it. So they just kind of made that part a little bit longer. I don't know. But it seemed that the pacing was a little weird in places.
The denouement was long.
What's a denouement?
Denouement?
Yeah.
It's a theater term. It indicates the part after the climax to the end of the actual film.
Oh, cool.
The lowering action, if you will.
I like that.
Yeah.
We could have an after hours club called Denouement.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get on that.
My applaud is Ray. Just Ray.
Yes!
All of Ray. I myself am a pickle lover. And part of this is...
That's not a euphemism, applauders. We just like a pickle.
Yeah. We, Naomi and I, will have one or two pickles a night at about 9 o'clock before we go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly for people transitioning in mostly towards the feminine side, I think, have a lack of sodium in their system. So they it's been recommended by doctors to eat pickles. They're low calorie, high sodium foods. So yeah, Ray, pickle lover, and
saving, houseboat. Saving grace.
Houseboat owner.
Mm-hmm.
Pickles. Jen approved. Doctor recommended.
I seriously tried to buy a not for sale sign that says I love you more than pickles, which just goes to prove that God doesn't want me to tell you that I love you more than pickles. So, Lydia, from what you've heard of this film, do you have shocked and applaud moments? Imagine we cornered you at a party. And we spent 2 hours explaining it.
I will probably, and I know, like, when I talk about my shocked moments, they're generally negative. So, like, this is definitely a low point for me just in what you guys are talking about. But I am not a fan of, you know, it was all a dream or this is all a farce. Mm-hmm. It kind of, like, the fact that it ends with this is all a farce is like, don't try and take this movie too seriously. You're not supposed to think too hard about it. But like my whole thing is thinking hard about movies.
Yeah.
I watched Nope twice over the weekend with Leota, your mm-hmm. mom, my mom. Like I was talking about like why I really enjoy Nope. And it's specifically, I feel like Nope is a movie for people who like to analyze movies mm-hmm. or people who are involved with movies. It's a movie for people who love movies.
Yes.
But if you're someone who's like a casual observer, you like movies, you don't like to necessarily like take them apart and put them back together the way an engineer would do a toaster, then you might not like that movie. And that's totally okay. But like I could not get behind a movie that's just like it was all a dream or this story doesn't actually have any merit or, you know, this is all a farce. Don't think too hard about it when it's like that's my whole thing. I like to think hard about movies.
I like a movie that knows itself. I think something that Nope does really well is like you don't get a straight to camera in that, which, you know, I find unappealing a yeah. lot of the time. You feel like that movie knows itself. And this movie, in trying to show that same, not the same as Nope, obviously, mm-hmm. but like it's trying to show that it's in on the joke, it kind right. of makes it fall flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. But again, I haven't seen it, so maybe I'm completely wrong.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. Okay, so what's one thing that you would like super be into about this movie?
I don't know. When you said Picklemobile, I was like, yeah, Picklemobile, even though it's just a jar driving, going across. Yeah. Yeah. But still, like, imagine if Ray saved the day with her pickle mobile.
Basically, she did.
Yeah.
She gave him a chance to sober up. Mm-hmm. She enjoyed a salty treat on the way there.
Yeah.
We don't know what kind of hormones Ray is on, yeah. if any at all.
And,
you know?
I am all for women being gross but heroic. So I like...
It's true to life.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think of myself as a gross woman.
Yeah. Gross is not a moral stance.
No.
Gross either means, you know, unsanitary, which, hey, why not? Mm-hmm. But also it means like 144 of something, which is a lot.
If I am farting because I just had a bunch of fruit and vegetables, I would think that that doesn't make me gross. That makes me healthy.
Yeah.
What did Madeline used to say? Found uncleanliness or cleanliness is not a moral failing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moral failings are not things like that. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like non-moral actions, like we live in a time of self-care and that being like this, oh, you're mm-hmm. you're morally failing if you're not self-caring in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, one, in fact, I think Madeline and I follow one of the same people on TikTok, and her thing is, if you are so depressed you cannot get out of bed, the fact that you did not make yourself a well-balanced meal and only ate those Pop-Tarts is not moral. You put calories in your body, and that's what it needs to function, and you did that. Good job. Not moral, you mm-hmm. know? And like, hey, you need to do laundry. You're not a bad person because you put it off. You did laundry because you need to do that to care for your body. Mm-hmm. That is not a moral thing that you have failed at if you didn't get a chance to do it. Like, just, we do a lot of blaming of ourselves, and I'm guilty, just like everyone else in this room. I've had talks with all of you about feeling like a failure for not completing a certain task, and the fact that you're introduced to Rey as this you're introduced to her as the lowest of the low of all the characters, but she's the only one, again, who doesn't have like a big moral failing.
Her introduction is she walks out and goes, "Don't go in there. I just dropped a deuce."
That sounds compassionate.
Right? I mean, if I've been married a long time, we warn each other every time we watch the other person walk past us towards mm-hmm. where we just set off something nuclear.
But then at the end, she's the only one that did anything right.
Yeah.
And she did say that she didn't wash her hands, but I bet she washed her
hands. I did.
Hands.
That was the fun. Mm-hmm. I told you I haven't washed my hands and then like touched your face with my wet hand.
You lick your hand and be like, ugh, I didn't
wash. Don't you hate it when you pee on yourself?
Yeah, that's our joke. Yes. Oh, man. That was our joke all the time back in the day. I'm like super militant about hand washing, but if there's no towel in there, you might as well be like, I didn't wash my hands.
Basically, being gross isn't a moral failing, but what is non-consensual babyfication.
Yep, except that she consensually had sex with Dr. Douche, so that was a consent baby.
Yeah.
Non-consensual babyfication is the name of my kids' bop cover band.
Okay, you can have that one.
All right.
Well, applauders, you have reached the end of September.
Happy birthday, Jen.
Thank you.
You can send birthday wishes to Jen at shockedandapplaud@gmail.com.
Or not. That's fine, too. And you can also catch us sometime probably this month with Reels of Justice as a guest. We were a guest there for Spice World.
We defended Spice World. It. We defended it so hard.
Mm-hmm. And we lost.
Listen to their episode for the results.
Okay, all right. Cut that out. I'll edit that out.
No, it's fine. Oh no, our 17 listeners are going to find out what happened on the podcast. Well, you look really good today. You did a good job getting up and doing stuff. Thank you, Sean, for guesting.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. This was wonderful.
Maybe you come back another time.
Maybe.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to it.
Okay.
That's about it. Enjoy Man Baby on Vimeo. Jen will post a link. We'll probably post a picture of the three of us at the show.
Thank you, applauders. This is Lydia Malcolm.
This is Jen McQuaid.
This is Naomi McQuaid.
And this is Sean Hall. Sean Facts.
Sean Facts.
Sean Facts.
And this has been Shocked and Applaud. Thank you all for listening.
Congrats, applauder. You finished our three-part review of 2022's Man Baby. We'd like to remind you that this film is available to rent, and you can find a link along with a coupon code in the comments to our Twitter post for this release. Have some post-part 3 podcast depression to work through? Don't get all hormonal about it. Listen to these great podcasts. Talkin' Shiz is discussing sad gas stories and The Little Mermaid, and Never a Straight Answer podcast is discussing people who made deals with the devil. Check out links to these shows in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and someone who just celebrated her own birthday, Jen. Want to get in on the party and feel a sense of daily belonging? Follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook at Shocked and Applaud and Twitter and Instagram at Shocked Applaud. We'll be taking a short break, and we'll return October 11th for a brand new episode. It's Lydia's choice, and personally, I think it's going to be one of our fan favorites. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.
Yay!
Babyfication. Babyfication.
Oh, I thought for sure you're going to be like, baby man, do, 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 baby man, do, do, do.
No, that would require talent and like being witty, and I am not witty and clever.
You inspire me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bop, bop, bud, we dup, Scooby dup, bop, we dup, dup, doo.
I think the kids are into BTS.
Behind the scenes?
Is that the new like bondage way of doing things? Is that a new kind of
bondage? We're showing our age.
Whatever, kids, get consent.
Yeah, dynamite, butter. I know these things.